Welcome to
Surprise,
I don't like that.
Video.
I don't
oh,
like
sorry.
That. Welcome to GHF, the world's first podcast in video games. It's October.
Man.
It's Halloween month.
Happy Halloween. Hey, so this is the common discussion. This is a very like normal people discussion, okay? But like, what are your dates for when you can start like putting up decorations for things? So I'm gonna say, starting with Halloween, what's the first day you're allowed to like put up decorations for Halloween, or is there some nuance? What are you thinking?
I think as soon as the month starts. I mean, in my old neighborhood in Indiana, there was somebody that had like a one of those 12-foot skeletons in their yard, and they would put that shit up October 1st, which I respect.
See, I think that's fine. I heard recently from someone who will not be named because of how bad this take is that you can start putting Halloween decorations up in the middle of September.
That's crazy.
Is that not? It's crazy, right?
Yeah, because nobody's even thinking about Halloween in September.
Right. But what I agreed with is you could do like non-spooky Halloween decorations, pumpkins, leaves, but no spiders or skeletons until October 1st.
Wait, what?
You know?
So it's like just
no,
generic fall stuff until October.
Yeah, fall stuff. You can put fall stuff up, but
I mean, sure, I
October
guess.
October 1st is when the skeletons come out. Okay,
for
so
sure.
Then what about when can you start with Thanksgiving? When can you put a turkey out in the turkey out in the yard?
Nobody's decorating for Thanksgiving. If you decorate for Thanksgiving, you're a little bit crazy. I'm sorry. Besides like the day when you have your family over for the meal. And even then, it's
now,
like
this is dangerous though.
If you're owning like turkey decorations, like are people really that into Thanksgiving? Like, let's be serious.
This is very dangerous because if you don't give people something to decorate for, they're going to find something, which means that in your world, November 1st, you're going to start seeing Christmas decorations. And so I'm saying we need to encourage Thanksgiving decorations as a stopgap.
I think that we need to encourage
because or else people will put Christmas decorations
having
up.
Breaks. Like if every day is decorated, then what's the joy of the decorations?
For sure, but
you must have darkness to appreciate the light, you know, like...
Unfortunately, as a every individual person believes that, but when we're all together, there's going to be enough people who we're all taking turns with when our darkness and our light is, that in the aggregate, it's just constant blinding light. You know what I'm saying? So we have to let people put turkeys up from November 1st to Thanksgiving, or else they're going to start putting Santa Clauses up, and we can't be having that.
Yeah, I guess. I'm a big Christmas person, though. I do love Christmas. But I would only...
So when do your decorations go up?
It starts at the start of the month. It starts December 1st. Anything before that is a little bit...
Really?
It's a little much, yeah.
Because I would say you could start Christmas decorating the day after Thanksgiving. Or maybe that following Monday after Black Friday. But like, I'm fine with it if it's
after
Thanksgiving.
That's what Target wants you to think.
When does Christmas music start playing in the store? A lot of people do it in November. So, I don't know. This is just my opinions.
The game we are in, I should talk about the game we are in, because we look really scary right
now. Scary.
We might have like actually made some people poop their pants.
What
at
do
the
I look like?
This. You are a fleshy corpse.
Okay,
you're
so like a zombie. And
a
you're
a
skeleton?
Skeleton with a little bit of meat on it, and I'm a skeleton with no meat on it.
Because, no meat. You don't actually even have a bottom jaw.
Really?
Yep, no bottom jaw, just the top. Must have fallen off.
I actually didn't
off.
Know that. What's interesting is that you still...
Maybe that's how you died.
I would lose a lot of blood, I would imagine, from having no bottom jaw. You still
it
have
would be
eyebrows.
Borderline instantaneous.
You still have eyebrows and one nipple, but not the other.
Can you surmise anything about how I died based on those two facts?
You've got a lot of big...
Something bad happened.
...bites taken out of you, which could have been... post-mortem.
That's where the nipple
scavengers.
Went.
Scavengers.
Oh, true.
I don't know. I think the lore of the game is that you were embalmed and I was not, so you were like a rich person and I was not.
Oh, wow. Just like real life.
Because I did play this game, as I said to you before, for 20 whole minutes yesterday and learned a little bit about the world. The game we are in is called...
Was it as fun as it looks?
It was all right. It's called Animist. Mist spelled like, you know, the classic
like
puzzle
the
game Mist, like M-Y-S-T.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a reference, but we are dead. Oh, and the lighting has changed dramatically for me very suddenly. There is some kind of day-night cycle, I think. But we are dead, and we are in some kind of post-life world. You called it hell, but it might not be hell. I don't know. It's a desert.
I just meant hell as a concept.
Sure.
Like, welcome to hell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what Winston Churchill said about hell?
No.
If you're going through hell, keep going.
Okay.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, will do.
Hey, you went to Japan.
I did. I did go to Japan.
You like how I saved that one? you left me hanging. You were like, this isn't, what's this bit? I saved it. That's professional. You went to Japan.
I did. I went to Japan.
Tell me all about it.
I had 5 full days there, I think. It's so funny because you spend so much time traveling and then with the time difference and everything.
Holy
like
cow, yeah.
I was gone from my house for, shit, was it 8? Because I left on a Thursday. I came back on a Thursday. So I was like traveling gone from my house for 8 days. But I was in Tokyo for 6 days with 5 full days, if you know what I mean. Because like...
Yeah, not like non-overlap travel days.
So that's crazy. And especially, I mean, the way back was a disaster as far as the travel went. And I'll get to that because...
Really? I only saw the one thing. All right. I want to hear the whole story. Leave no stone unturned.
Of things to say. So I...
Let's do it.
I went to Tokyo for a short trip because... I mean, the tickets are cheaper than ever. Now is the time to go to Tokyo. Sucks for them.
Yeah, they hate people, or they hate their economy. They ruin the value of their currency or something, which is why it's so cheap, right? I don't know anything about
that. I don't
know
if they ruined it. I don't really know much about the causes of the economic collapse. But yeah, the yen is not doing well compared to the dollar. And I mean... It's kind of an awkward conversation to have with Japanese people because I had a couple conversations with Japanese people while I was there. Where I was like, yeah, it's like, it's really cheap for me to come here because your economy is so bad. And then it's like,
is that what you led with?
Awkward.
You're like, hey, konnichiwa, your economy really is bad.
Well,
so
it's because, you know, because the main reason that I went was to go to a concert, which is insane, but I'm crazy, okay? I'm just, you can't take me anywhere. I'm
no,
crazy.
No, concerts are always worth it. We've talked about this. Like, that's the one thing
I
that you basically will never regret.
I'll do anything for a concert, and then it turned out to be really good that I went to this specific one. But anyway, yes. Yeah, it's like, I bring that up when I meet people, and they're like, you know, because it's like crazy that I would come just for a concert, and then I have to be like, well, it's because it's like, it's like really cheap right now.
Because of your shitty economy. Oh, what brings you here today?
Because of the economy.
Oh, your economy sucks.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking advantage of it. It's like that guy who travels to places that get terrorist attacked. What brings you here? Well, I figured there's not going to be a second one, so now's the time.
You talking about the clip from Podcast But Outside?
It honestly might be, yeah.
That
like
was
that guy who they were like,
yeah, that was
I think
the guy
was
that went on Podcast
see,
But Outside, and he was like, yeah, I look at the news and look up places that have just been terrorist attacked and go travel there because
and then just
everybody's
go do it.
Too
it's
scared.
It's cheaper and the odds, exactly. So you like it, it's just the best experience. It's honestly genius, but.
Honestly, yeah, because what's the chance of it happening immediately again? Like, you're probably fine.
It's so small, so small.
Yeah.
It's just like how if an airline has a crash, you should immediately buy their stock. Because, like, they're not going to have another one. So you're just going to buy the dip or whatever,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never bought a stock. Have you ever bought a stock?
Absolutely not.
I really
but
should,
do you,
right?
Do you have, like, a... Do you, like, invest in a portfolio, like, via money or somewhere?
Well, that's what I'm... No, nothing like that,
does,
no.
Does do that? I actually don't know.
Listen, they're not paying us for this podcast, so don't you say we say
actually,
RM unless we're getting paid. Okay?
Yeah, Ethan actually beep out me saying, please. That's
yeah,
not...
exactly. Perfect. Yes. Yeah. No. You should. But yeah, I don't think it's good to like buy specific stocks, right? Because it's just like gambling. Then, but you should like have a 401k or something, right? I don't, but I should. I will.
Yeah. Noah handles all that.
Give me some
that,
financial advice. Get him on. I need some financial advice. Anyway, so you're traveling to Japan. You get there and people are like, oh, what brings you here? The economy and a concert.
Yeah, your shitty, shitty economy. It's it's dirt cheap for Americans to come here. And then it's just awkward because they're always like, man, I wish I could go to America someday, but it's so expensive because it's the opposite for them. It's like prohibitively expensive to come to America. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll flip around eventually.
Anyway, so I had 2 days. I was going to see Perfume at Tokyo Dome for 2 days. They did 2 days there. I saw both days because I was like, if I'm going to go literally incredible across the world, I might as well get tickets to both days.
Yeah.
Also, concert tickets in Japan are like reasonably priced still. In the US, there's been, I mean, I think I've said this before, but I used to go to like concerts of big artists and I just like don't anymore because it's literally $500. Like, all the
recent... If Perfume plays a show in America, it's a lot more expensive than if they play in Japan, I assume. Right?
No, it was very affordable. I mean, the last time they toured in the U.S. was like 2019 or something. It was a while ago.
Okay. So pre-COVID.
But yeah, the tickets to the Tokyo Dome show, which was like a huge, like very high production value show, was like at like $100 USD. Like normal price.
Where are you sitting?
So the first, I got like two different sections. Because the first day I wanted to be far enough away to see the whole stage and all the production, like get a feel for what was going on. And then the second day I did get VIP. So I was like right next to the catwalk.
Damn. That must've been awesome.
And I got a little VIP badge and I got a t-shirt, which I guess I'll just tell this stuff non-chronologically.
This is the year of this is the second VIP badge you've gotten for some kind of event this year. What's going on?
What? The other one being VidCon?
Industry, yeah.
Yeah, I did
this
have
is the
industry,
second notable badge moment for you this year.
Industry pass
two
at VidCon due to who I knew. That was that was a networking.
I don't know if we'll go back. Oh, I can't podcast next week, by the way. I'm going to Vid Summit. Surprise. Sorry.
What is that?
Just thought I'd drop that on you. It's like a convention, but it's not for fans. It's like for YouTubers and industry people only.
I see.
So it's like... A lot of people still go. It's still like many thousands of people, but it's like...
Where is that?
Exclusively for Dallas, Texas this year. Dallas, Texas. It was a last minute decision. And
wow. That's where I just spent 12 hours of my life on the way back.
In Dallas, Texas? No way. You should have just waited a little bit longer and then we could have done the pod in person.
Was it Dallas or Houston? Now I can't remember.
That's interesting. I do want to hear that part of the story.
It was one of them. Anyway, oh my God, where do I start? Let me go back to chronological.
After the shows.
I got there.
Yeah.
And the jet lag wasn't that bad. The time difference is not as much as it was from Indiana.
Yes, true. It's like Eastern, 4 or 5 hours probably. No, but isn't it? It's another day.
It's a big time difference. So like right now it's 1:24 p.m. in Pacific time, and in Tokyo right now it's 5:24 a.m. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know math, but it's like almost opposite. Indiana, it was much more opposite. Like literally, like evening was morning. It's like 3 hours less bad. Now, that's the best way you're gonna possibly get me to explain that. But
okay, understood.
So jet lag was honestly not horrible. I was like kind of getting tired and waking up earlier. Like I would wake up at like 6 a.m. but that was kind of the extent of it. And then I was there for such a short time that by the time I came back, like I feel like I didn't even really fully adjust while I was there. So I like readjusted to Oregon time like instantly.
Nice. Okay. That's pretty good.
So I get there at like, I don't like 4 p.m. or something. And then pretty much just laid in my bed and went to sleep. Because I was so tired from doing anything. And then I spent two days...
Was it like a little tiny capsule bed? Or did you have a hotel?
Yes.
Like a whole
so
thing?
I stayed in a hostel, which hostels in Japan are like very nice and clean and cheap. So I paid, I think it was like $30 a night. And you can get ones cheaper than that. If you're traveling solo, I highly recommend a hostel in Japan because it's just like so easy and cheap. And it will be like pretty clean and quiet. I've heard bad things about hostels in like Europe or whatever. I haven't done that. But in Japan, it's like,
yeah,
no matter how cheap it is, it's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I actually like brought
I'm
your
plugs. I'm staying in the Hilton.
Then... I know you are. Well, because you're you're the 1%. So
I'm a princess. But you stay. It was good that earplugs fixed the one problem you had at the last hostel you were in.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I brought earplugs and I didn't even really use them that much because everybody was just quiet, except for me. I was probably the loud one on accident. I was I've started
just knocking
posting,
things around.
Well, there was like one moment that actually made me want to crawl out of my skin, which was, it was like 11:30 p.m. or something. So you're supposed to be quiet by then. I think quiet time starts at like 10 p.m. and I'm laying in my bunk. And I'm getting ready to post my daily TikTok because I have been posting TikToks every day that Ethan is also editing. Thank you. But TikTok
God bless Ethan.
Has been doing this thing. So I posted it to Instagram, no problem. I was just sitting there with my sound off on my phone. Like my phone is muted. I post it to Instagram. I go to post it to TikTok. And TikTok a couple times has done this thing to me where if you open the app and your volume is off on your phone, it'll turn it max, like max volume.
Whoa.
So it's silent in the hostel room. It's silent in the hostel room. And I open my TikTok to post this video of me and my voice starts blasting across the room.
That's
in the
incredible.
Dark. At
Wait,
night.
What do you remember what video it was? Like what short you posted that was that?
It was one of the Agu ones.
Like, could someone
ones.
Else go recreate this experience?
Yeah. It was, I don't remember which one. It was one of the Agu ones, if you know, that little purple ball game that I played for my video. But that made me want to die. Nobody reacted. Like, nobody said anything, but my heart was racing,
worse,
and
though.
I turned it down so fast, and then I just, like, it took me, like, 10 minutes to calm down from that. That was awful. I felt so bad.
Because you know they heard it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And then they were like, ugh.
I will say I didn't talk to anybody in my room the whole time, so I don't think they would have recognized that it was my voice. That would have been an added layer of humiliation that it was a video of me somehow.
Wait. If you're staying in a hostel in Japan, the people probably aren't Japanese, right?
Most of them, no. Most of them were also traveling from other places, I would say.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay, you may continue.
So the other thing I had to say about the hostel was somebody had some foot fungus, man. It was like a 9 out of 10 experience other than one person using the shoe cabinet. There was a shoe cabinet. We each had one little spot to put one pair of shoes. You could only fit one pair of shoes in there. It was like labeled with our bunks. And every time I opened that thing, man, there was a crazy, crazy smell. I was like a little bit afraid that I was going to catch it from their shoes.
Ever in your life, have you ever told someone that they stink when they stink?
That's a fantastic question. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
I don't think I would ever say that.
Like, even my like closest friends, I don't think I would. I was like bullying someone, you know, or being bullied. But
yeah,
like, I really don't think I've ever said, hey, you smell really bad. Go, you need to go take a shower.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Because some people will say
I'm kind of realizing
that they want to know, that they would appreciate it. But I'm thinking, I don't even know if I would appreciate it. I think maybe I wouldn't want to know.
Because all it would mean is that from that moment until the moment I can finally fix it, I'm going to be miserable and feel horrible. So like probably what you should do is if I stink, which obviously I never do, I'm sure you don't either.
No.
But then you should follow me until I get to a place that's near like a shower where I could fix it.
Yeah.
And then tell me.
Once
you're then I can
in
fix it. But
proximity to deodorant or like something that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if I... Anyway, I guess that explains why so many people stink is because no one tells anyone. Or it's just us, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it is what it is.
So I'm staying in the hostel. The first 2 days, I'm wandering around. I never know what to do in Tokyo. I even asked people for advice and I like wrote some things down. And then I feel like I did a couple of them. But I am very overwhelmed by Tokyo. honestly, like, this trip just, like, cemented again that I don't really like it that much. I had to be there for this show. But it's just, like, I'm not a city person. It's so overwhelming. All there is to do is walk and shop and... Yeah.
Hello?
Oh. Hi.
Oh, you disappeared, but you're back. I don't know what happened. It just hung you up and then unhung you up. Or maybe I hung up. Who knows? Doesn't matter.
Oh.
I heard you say, I'm not a city person, and then you disappeared.
Oh. Well, that's like the last thing I said, so that's fine. But yeah, I...
Perfect.
All there is to do in Tokyo is like shop and go to restaurants. And there's some people that are really into that, so cool, but...
It's like New York kind of in that way.
Yeah, but I think I like New York better. I don't know what it is.
Okay, cool. Well, it's like Manhattan, I should say. It's like if New York was only Manhattan.
Yeah.
But I guess you... Didn't you like Manhattan?
I like Manhattan, okay, but I guess it's also, it's in small bites. I like to go to a big city for a reason, like an event, and then leave and not be there anymore. So that is also my experience with Tokyo. I get such like, I get like FOMO because there's so many things to do, and then I get paradox of choice because I don't know what to pick because I could do anything. It's like, you can find any store, you can do anything you can imagine, you can go to Disney, like, when you can do anything, it's like, how do you even pick something to do? So,
yeah, like, how do you find the Museum of Jurassic Technology equivalent, but in Tokyo? Like, you need to have, that's the skill you need to be developing.
Yeah.
It's like finding stuff like that. But I don't know if, is Japan too nice to have shitty, weird things like that?
They've gotta have stuff like that, but I don't know how to find it yet. I do, like, my favorite thing to do when I travel is just to open Google Maps and click on stuff and go there, knowing nothing.
Yes.
And that's how I end up finding the weirdest stuff. I mean, that's how I found the Museum of Jurassic Technology. I saw it on the map and I was like, what the hell could that possibly be? And then I just went. And it was awesome.
And it was like the best place you went, yeah.
By far, yeah. So the first 2 days I was kind of wandering around. I almost like actually couldn't tell you what I did. I think I like went to a museum...
You went to a museum?
Yeah, I went to an art museum, okay. Which was cool.
You
they
did
had like
go
a
to
big.
An art museum.
I did. Yeah, I did. Sorry, I was exaggerating
like,
a little
weird
bit.
Weird to
I
be
guess.
Like, I've got a vague sense that I went
it was
to
all
the
just
museum
a,
while I was in
It was
in
kind
Tokyo.
Of a fever dream. It kind of was because I was a little bit tired and I was a little bit sad.
Yeah.
It's
the way it goes.
And I did.
Were you sad before the show or did the show make you sad? Because I feel like concerts always can like make you feel sad afterwards, you know?
I've just kind of been in a funk lately because the other scary thing about October is that I'm going to officially turn old this month.
Get ready. It's coming up. Are you going to tell people when it is so people can wish it to you?
They'll figure it out. I'll post about it. I'm sure. But I'm...
So they'll figure it out on the day of. Yeah, that makes
sense.
I'm
going to be 30, guys. I know some of you still don't know how old I am. I'm going to be 30 this month. So
no matter how many times you say it, no one will believe it and they'll all think you're an annoying Gen Z person probably.
A real grown up.
You know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing is people either think I'm annoying because I'm too young or I'm annoying because I'm too old. Or
exactly.
Like, so it doesn't really matter. I'm just me, guys. I'm just me. Like, what
it's the only person you can be.
Surfs Up. Just let me be me.
I've never seen it. That's the little hot penguin with the hair.
Yeah. So I went to a couple random events. I was going to say also, highly recommend if you're solo traveling in Tokyo, there's all kinds of shit going on Meetup. Just free shit. So I went to like
what is Meetup?
It's an app. Where you can find things to do, like clubs and stuff, like in your area, and events.
That's so fun.
And so I went to this, like, just, I'm hearing voices in my head now from this game.
See,
it's
it happens
so weird.
Sometimes.
I went to this random, like, just international people thing to talk to people. And I met this guy that was... he was like 22. He decided to move to Japan just because for a year He decided to move for a year and had never been before. He was from France. Shout out to this guy. Damn. He followed me on YouTube, so maybe he's listening to this. Probably not.
Whoa. Shout out to Pierre.
Also, I opened my phone to like look something up, and he was like, is that Genshin? Because I have a Genshin background. And it turns out he's like a whale on Genshin. So he's got money because he's whaling on Genshin, and he's moving to Japan for no reason for a year with no job. So sick, I guess. I just think that was a little bit crazy to move to a foreign country you've never been to for a year.
Yeah, some people are just like that. They just like dive into stuff, you know, and it all seems to work out, or they like one out of every 100 of them dies.
Live your life.
Yeah.
I don't think he was going to die. It is funny now that I have decided to tell everybody that I'm a YouTuber when they ask what I do. And the first the first thing everybody does is go subscribe, which is so funny to me because you don't even know what I make videos about. And you just immediately want to go subscribe. But every single person does that. They're like, let me look you up and subscribe. Like, oh, wow. Thank
you. Do they do the thing where they look at you and they're like, I'm gonna subscribe to you. I'm gonna. And they like kind of are like, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like,
it's like, yeah, it's fine. I, you know, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, especially if you don't care about what I make or don't watch anything, you know, but
yeah, that's what we need.
Now, I got to get to the point where you can go, where you can just grab someone's phone and go, are you subscribed? And if not, why not? Like, you got to get big enough that it's more common that they are
just like
are subscribed.
Half of people in the whole world are sub to me.
Why aren't you? Yeah. Not very many people could do that. Really just the one, but we don't talk about
it. Yeah, I did, though. I'm not being completely honest because I've been telling most people, but then the little coffee shack that I go to every day, they actually had never asked me until like yesterday what I did for work, and I did lie.
You show up like for the 870th day in a row of getting the exact same coffee at the exact same time, and they're like, what the fuck do you do?
I think, to be honest,
you get to come here at, you know, whatever time.
I think, to be honest, I'm a little bit unapproachable when I go get my coffee because I do immediately go get it as soon as I wake up. And I think I probably look like I don't want to talk to you, which is honestly true.
You probably
true.
Don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah,
I don't.
Because I'm in my ugliest form. Like, I just need to get my stupid sugary drink and go home.
Yeah.
So,
and you do. So this time they asked you and you lied?
Yeah, I did the lie that
you're like, I work in finance. I work in sales.
The first thing, if I'm going to lie, the first thing I say is I work from home. And then sometimes they don't bother to ask a follow-up question after that. But my drink was taking a minute. So she did ask the follow-up question, which was doing what?
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting is how much you don't want to answer the question, but also you have a weird refusal to just outright lie. Like, you could just say, I drive for Uber. You know what I mean? You could just make something up. And they would not ask any questions.
I'm just so bad at lying.
But for some reason...
But they do ask questions.
Well, you could just...
And then I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, like, you know, I'm just saying, it's funny that you're like, I have to somehow not lie, but also not tell them what I do. Because it's just so much more suspicious than just, like, saying, oh, I work. You just tell them about an old job you had, because then you'll be able to answer questions, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what
I
do.
But I don't
do.
Like doing it either. You could always do the classic, I work in advertising, because technically that's how you make your money, you know? So you could be like, I'm in advertising. I like, you know, we get paid by advertisers to make content, you know? There you go.
I mean, you're just a better liar than I am. I have to have a nugget of truth in it, or I just like cave immediately and like tell them I lied.
Yeah.
But so I did.
But you're starting
tell them
just
about
to tell them
a previous
that you're a
job.
YouTuber.
Like, I basically, because she kept asking questions, and I basically told her the job that I had last, which was like web development from home. So
can you go back? Can you go back and tell them the truth?
I'm entrenched in a lie at the coffee place.
No. You don't want to do that. You've done that before. You don't want to. Don't let it build. Cut it off before it's over.
You want me to go back and just tell them I lied?
Yeah. Yeah. Just at some point, just say, hey, you know, last time I was here, I lied to you. This is what I lied about. This is what I actually do. And I'm sorry.
And I just don't even order coffee. I just go to tell them that and leave.
Yeah, and then you drive off, and that's the last they ever see of you.
Drive off into the fog.
Yeah.
Like a ghost. Okay, well, what else did I have to say about this? I'm wandering around. I may or may not have gone in a museum. That's the first 2 days. Oh, I randomly ended up touring a no theater. So there's like different types of Japanese theater, right? There's like, have you heard of kabuki?
I heard of kabuki.
Kabuki, I think,
and
is
I've
about
heard of
like
one
samurais,
of the other ones. I can't remember what it's
and
called.
Then no.
Yeah, but there's like nine forms of theater, like some amount of them in Japan, or right, whatever.
I don't know exactly, but no theater is the one where they move and sing extremely slowly. And I feel like, wow, I've even heard in a class at some point that like this is like a type of play that they would do for nobility back in the day, and it was like very normalized to fall asleep in the audience, like to the point where it wasn't even considered rude to like fall asleep. Huh. Because it is like,
so what
they take,
you mean
a
like they're literally going
to
like
say one sentence,
we, that's crazy.
Yes, they're like, huh. Like,
is it all sung? Is it like opera?
I think so. I haven't seen a whole play, so I'm not sure if there's bits in between where they're not singing, but it seems like most of it is sung. And this was another,
well,
like,
it sounds like it would take a couple of weeks to see a whole play, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they did say, wait, how long was it supposed to be? I think they only said it's like 30 minutes long, so it's not like you have to endure it for too long, but probably only like two things happen in that 30
minutes.
It's like
a one act play, but it's 3 hours. They're like, what the? Crazy.
But that was another random thing that I found on Meetup that was free. It was just like some, it was like a language exchange cafe called English Only Cafe, which if you want to go practice your English or Japanese, it's just like language exchange both ways. So you can just like basically drop in. I mean, look up the times, I think, because they have like specific blocks that you can sign up for. But it's like pretty much any time during the day you can go and do language exchange. So I did that for a little bit and like practiced with some people. But my table was all, I think maybe we had like one Japanese person and the rest of us weren't. So it was kind of just like second language Japanese talking to each other. But I practiced a little bit, and then I went on this tour that was free because it was just like they just did a field trip, and I got to like wear the shoes that they wear at the theater and learn a little stanza of a song.
I gotta look at this website. Meetup.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had much luck in the United States with Meetup, like finding things that I actually wanted to do.
Well, the first thing I just saw is New Orleans Bitcoin Meetup, so maybe it's maybe Japan's the place to do
it. And
they
also, they allow a lot of events posted to Meetup that are like online events, and they just get posted to like every city in the United States, and it's not actually a local thing. It's like some stupid online
thing.
Sure,
you could probably filter, I'd imagine, right?
I hope so, yeah. But at least in Tokyo, looking for like kind of international events, there was like quite a few things on there. So because I was alone, I was feeling a little sad. I wanted to interact with human beings, so I did a couple of things like that. And it was sick that tour
was
free.
That's so fun. Yeah, that's really cool. Are you ready to tell me about your ride home yet? Or are we not there yet?
Well, now we're going to the concert. I mean, I can tell you about the ride home if this is boring you.
I'm completely engaged. I'm here. I thought we already went over the concert, that's all. Because you were like, we did a VIP, but tell me about the concert.
Yeah, well, the main thing that I had to say about the concert was, well, it was good. It was very, like, cathartic for me because, well, first of all, it ended up being just very emotional in general because they announced 2 days before the first show, Perfume announced that they're going on hiatus for who knows how long.
That's always a bummer.
A lot of people saying that this is the end. I don't believe it's the end. They've said many times that it's not, and they're honest people, and I trust that they will come back. I don't know in what capacity. But, you know, they're like late 30s now, and their whole show is dancing. So like they can't do it forever. I understand. Yeah.
It's almost no band stays broken up forever when they break up that young. Like, even Oasis is back together
right
now,
and they're
so,
not breaking like, up, and they were very yeah, clear in the concert bad. That they are yeah. coming back, and I do 100% believe that they're coming back, even if it was just for like one reunion tour. Like, they will do another live because yeah. they said they will. Anyway, so it was a weird mood. It was so weird going into the first night of the show because, so they announced, like, I was already in Japan for the show when they announced this, which for me was a surprise. Like, I don't know. I just didn't expect it because they just came out with another album and they haven't even done like a Japan tour for it yet. So I was like expecting, first of all, that the show that I went to would be themed around the album mainly, and that then they would do like a regular tour. So it was like weird. And so I think I was in my feelings a little bit about it. I think I was a little bit mad when I went through the first night of the show because I was like expecting this to be like an album show. But then because they announced the hiatus, it ended up being more of like a greatest yeah. hits type of show, which is fine
yeah.
if I had known that. But I was like, I really liked this album and I was expecting one thing and then it was another thing. And then I was like blindsided by them kind of half breaking up. So it was.
So you were pissed at Perfume. You were mad.
I wasn't pissed, but I was sad. I was sad, and it was making me think about life and that, like, this thing that I've loved for literally over a decade of my life is going away, and I'm getting old, and I'm going to be 30.
Yeah, and it's like
it
coincides with, right, exactly. And then, like, there's other big changes with, like, career stuff, and you're just like, yeah, yikes.
So honestly, I was in such a mood the first night. And then it's just the show that they did basically was like redoing a lot of their most famous past performances. So they open it, like the first opening song, it's the exact same as an opening of a concert they did in 2020 at Tokyo Dome that I've watched on DVD a million times. So I was almost like, so everybody was like super hyped that they were doing the exact same thing again. It was literally the same exact set and everything with the screens.
Yeah.
And I was
like,
a little bit like,
I've seen
it though. Like,
yes.
I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I was like,
when that happens, like using the exact same screens and set and everything is, I think, kind of unfortunate. Like, there's a lot of bands who do that, and I get it because it works. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Like when people sort of continually reinterpret their own catalog, you know, into new contexts, new stages.
Perfume
and so on.
Is known for the stage production. Like, the point is the concerts, and every time they have like a really dramatic new stage, and this time the stage was basically exactly the same as a previous one. So I don't know. I was almost wondering if they just like still had this stuff around and they were out of budget or something. They always put a lot of thought into it, so I'm sure they did, but I don't know. I was in a weird mood the first night, but the second night was much better. I knew what I was getting into. And I treated it more as like a, you know, a celebration of a chapter closing or whatever. And I was right next to the stage. And I had a couple moments where I like made eye contact with them and was like making little hearts with my hands and stuff. And that was really sweet. Because here's what I actually wanted to talk about the concert, is Japanese concert etiquette is crazy. So this is like,
yeah, I've seen videos.
Obviously
it's
a
freaky
show. Well, tell me what you know about it then.
Every time I've seen it, it feels like going to like a, it's like they taught everybody ahead of time exactly what to do and when to do it. And when, like when to say things, when to clap, when not to clap. It's like going to a North Korean military parade. but I assume there's some nuance there. But every time I've seen it, it's like they all shake the sticks in exactly the same time on the beat, which is honestly pretty sick. I do like the big glow sticks. Did they have the glow sticks? Did you have those?
No, I don't know about that.
All right. Well,
we didn't have
glow
sticks.
Hatsune Miku concerts.
Right. Yeah.
I remember seeing those.
Yeah. They're serious about that.
Glow sticks. But it just, it does feel like not only are the rules different than they are in America, but everybody knows them and follows them. Whereas in America, it's like, we're very individualistic, and so it's just like everybody do whatever the fuck you want and try to make as much noise and get the attention however you want and be on your phone, talk to your friends, or don't. And it sucks and it's this big mess, but it can be beautiful. Whereas in Japan, it just seems so much more.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least at these big stadium shows, rigid in terms of the participation.
Fully focused on the show. So it's interesting. Oh, there's a skeleton chicken behind you that's almost as tall as you are. That's actually scary. But I guess
I'm going to take a look.
That's on theme with the episode that it's scary. But yeah.
It looks way shorter than me on my screen. But
it's interesting going to something like this. Like, my Japanese is getting better and better. So I actually understood most of the announcements they were making. And actually most of what Perfume said on stage and between the songs, which is new for me because I've been to their concerts before and not been able to understand. So it's cool to see progress. But so I got there early because doors open an hour before, just like usual. And I just went in and was reading my Kindle waiting. And about 20-30 minutes before the show, a guy comes on the announcement and he's like, if you want to pee before the show, go now. Cause by the time you get through the line, it'll be started.
Very convenient.
And
good for them.
I didn't quite understand the end of what he said, but I want to say he was trying to say that you can't leave and come back in. I don't know if that was actually a hard and fast rule, but I will say that during the concert, nobody left and came back in. Nobody went to the bathroom during the show.
Huh. I'm trying to figure out if this is somehow related to the tickets being cheaper than America. If there's some
if you're, because you're
perfect
locked
control.
In.
Yeah.
you're imprisoned.
Right. You'd think that'd make them more expensive though, because then you can't go out and get popcorn or whatever the fuck, you know? But I don't know.
Oh, and the chicken has human feet. Sorry, I'm just noticing things.
Yeah? That's, so it's like a chimera.
Freaky.
Oh, it's in front of me now.
But yeah, basically nobody left their seats. Everybody's attention was fully on the show, which I can appreciate because
sitting,
stand. So in the VIP section, everybody was standing because it was the pit. The first night when I was up in the stands, there were sections that stood up, but my section did not. All my section was sitting down, so I stayed sitting down.
That also would have pissed me off so much.
Because
then if you stand, it's almost if you want to stand and everyone around you sitting, you're just fuck, because you can't stand because then you're going to be in somebody's way.
Yeah, exactly.
But it sucks and you just have to sit there, you know?
It was weird because I wanted to dance around and I couldn't really because everybody was just sitting there politely. But so
if you wanted to, you'd have to be that person who was in everybody's way. And that just sucks.
Right. Which is you don't do that in Japan in general. But I suppose, the sections that were standing, somebody had to be the asshole first. Anyway, so definitely. Crazy experience compared to the U.S. Like you're saying, people are in the U.S. People are talking to each other. They're going back and forth getting drinks. They're going back and forth to the bathroom. They're moving.
It's
kind of sections,
chilling and having a party almost. Yeah. But then there's also people who are trying to be engaged. It's just a mix and it makes it very chaotic. And sometimes it all comes together and you have these incredible organic moments. I felt that way when we saw MCR. Is it's when everyone is on that page, it does feel really awesome. But it does sometimes mean that you're
in a
concert and
the
people are just talking
to...
and you're shut up.
Yeah, I'm the type to fully pay attention, and I have felt myself getting mad at people before. The first time I saw Beyonce, I was there by myself and I was excited about the show and I was fully paying attention to the show, and there was a whole group of people of six people in front of me that were just there to party and have fun, which was crazy because it was floor seats, so they paid a lot of money for these seats, and then we're just talking to each other the whole time.
Rich people, am I right?
Right? I don't... Yeah. Can you say that anymore?
I don't know. I don't think I'm quite buy floor seats to Beyonce on a whim and then not even experience them.
Yeah,
Rich.
For sure.
I feel like that's
noticed,
you got to crack
a
million.
Yeah.
Before you can even think about doing that.
I've noticed for me, even though I'm not monetarily rich at this point, but I used to historically on my channel, I've made so many jokes about ha ha ha, I'm a famous YouTuber. Because it was wild to say that. And that's
LOL.
That's why I was, it was a joke. And now I'm realizing
when
you
blink and one day you're like, oh shit. Oops.
I start making jokes like that and I'm like, wait, I kind of am.
You are. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I'd say famous,
manifesting, right? It's a joke until it's not. It's a good way to manifest.
So the concert etiquette is crazy. Another thing they did is when it ends, they don't let everybody just stand up and rush to the exits. They excuse everybody in sections, which honestly makes a lot more sense for a big stadium like that, because it always takes forever to get out of there if you just let everybody run wild.
I wonder when they like figured out, or how they figured out what the best way to do that is, or if they just like intuitively felt that that was the way to do it. Like, did it used to be one way and now it's this way, or did they used to excuse in different whatever?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's like the plane, like loading a plane. There's like a variety of ways to do it most efficiently. And it's
but it is funny because
like, did it feel like you got out faster than you would have if it was just chaos?
I don't know if it was faster overall, but it was like nicer because I didn't have to, because I just stayed in my seat until it was time for me to go instead of like waiting in the crowd. But it's interesting because with planes, they're the opposite. Every time I've gone on a domestic flight within Japan, that's like mostly Japanese people, they do not do the thing where they, where everybody in the front gets off first and they like wait their turn. Everybody rushes up and stands up in the aisle as fast as they can and just tries to like push their way out. So that's interesting to me. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. I mean, planes introduce, it's kind of like that thing we talked about where it's like, what if some people don't put up their Christmas decorations or whatever? And it's like, when you have a big group of people at any given time, 10 of those people are going to have a connection that they really have to get to. And once you introduce that into the equation, once like 10 people commit to the energy of pushing and shoving because they really have to get out, everyone just kind of has to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, if they're sitting here behind you and do that and this, it's, so it is, my guess is that's part of it, but who knows, man? Maybe just like perfume fans are like super chill.
I guess, but, so, and I had like a fiasco with my ticket the second night, and it's just like another
example. I haven't heard that word
how,
in a long time.
What,
that's
fiasco?
That's one of those $2 words. That was really good. Yeah, fiasco.
I'm into it. That's like fiasco. One of the words that I need to use more, I think. That's just what...
Yeah, no, agreed.
That's what
a fiasco
I wrote in my phone
ticket,
on
right?
The note. I said ticket fiasco.
Tell me about the fiasco.
Because it's just another example of how like rigid they are with rules. It's like the way that it worked is I went to Will Call to get my ticket before the show, which was like a... It's like orange. It's like an orange ticket. And then once you scan that to go in, they give you a white ticket that has your actual seat number on it. Because that's another interesting thing, is you don't know what seat you have until you literally enter the building.
That is interesting.
Which is kind of nicer because I wasn't stressed about it. It's like I just get what I get. Like I knew kind of what section I would be in, but you don't know your specific seat. So don't lose your white ticket with your seat on it is my advice, because the first night was fine. The second night, I went to my seat. Because then to get into the specific section, you have to show that white ticket to somebody to say, hey, I'm actually in this section, especially for VIP, because it's more expensive. So I went all the way to my seat. I was reading. And then I was like, wait, I'm still hungry. I'm going to go get a snack. I got up. I came back. I go to show the guy my white ticket, and I don't know where it is. And the only one I can find is the one from the previous day. And I still don't know where this went. I probably put it in my pocket.
It's a physical ticket.
Yeah.
So yeah, I must have just
I probably
fell
put it in my
huh?
pocket with my phone and like took my phone out and it fell on the floor or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're very serious about the rules, so like they would not let me back in the section without my ticket, even though I could show them my
Can you give me a taste
ticket.
Of the conversation?
Well, my Japanese is not that good, so it was good enough to explain the
do it
situation.
In English. Oh, I see. Okay.
But not good enough to fully understand everything he was saying back to me. But I got up there. I showed him first. I didn't realize it was the ticket from yesterday. So I showed him the ticket from yesterday and he's like, oh, this is not the right section. You need to be somewhere else. And I was like, oh, just kidding. This is the ticket from yesterday. This is wrong. And it took me a second to like convince him that that was true. I like showed him the date. I'm like, because I don't know. He thinks I'm lying, I guess, to try to get into VIP.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, no, no. This is yesterday. Look, okay. So I've convinced him that that is true. And then I'm like frantically searching my bag. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Maybe I accidentally threw it away. I was just in here. I told him like I literally just
a
came in here with
story.
This. And he basically has no suggestions. He's just like, I don't know. You got to have it to get in here. And then I'm like, if I go back... I'm asking him if I go back to the entrance, can they just like scan my regular ticket again and give me another one. And he's like, I would go check, like, go check, basically. And I'm still searching my bag frantically. And at one point he was like, it's not in there. Like, you've looked for a while. I don't think it's in there.
He was like, girl, just go figure out.
Yeah, he was like, just go back to the entrance and ask, like, at this point, it's not in there. getting a little bit annoyed with me. So I go all the way back to the front. Long story short, I have to, like, talk to several different people. They end up, like, I get to somebody whose job it is to, like, verify all the tickets, and they're looking me up in a spreadsheet, and they're writing on a post-it note for me, like, what my seat is. And then they have to escort me physically all the way back to the entrance to the section. And they're telling me, like, if you need to get up to go to the bathroom or something, like, you're going to have to find a staff member again because you don't have your ticket to actually get in there. So it's just funny because I feel like in the U.S., first of all, they wouldn't have had somebody checking tickets again at each section. I don't think they ever do that. It's like you just, once you're in the building,
that's a good point. Yeah, it's like they just assume that we as Americans will work it out. Like if you try to go to your seat and someone's in it, then you'll go get a staff member and sort it out, you know, as opposed to like policing it up front.
But yeah, I just don't think it would have been as big of a deal. I think I probably would have been able to convince them, like, I was just in here, and then they'd be like, okay, whatever, go, you know? But yeah. They were very serious about it, and it was very embarrassing. And a little bit crazy to me that, like, what? I was the only person that made that mistake? Like, I didn't see anybody else talking to this ticket person that I had
to
talk to.
It does feel like the type of thing where it's like, if that happened to me, I'd be like, well, surely they have an easy system of fixing this, because this must happen constantly.
Right, no, but everybody that I talked to,
You're underestimating the Japanese people's responsibility with their tickets.
Everybody that I talked to got, like, a grave expression, like, oh, no, this is horrible.
I mean, those grave expressions, though, those are the expressions that allow you to have such a... to have a concert experience that everyone pays attention and does exactly what they're... Like, those grave expressions
right,
are...
Right, because you're scared of that.
Social
exactly.
policing.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's like, if everyone does that anytime anyone makes a mistake on anything, then you can excuse the concert by section, you know? Then
exactly.
you can have everyone pay attention and say exactly the right things. Then you can have clean, well-running trains. But you need that kind of social pressure and shaming
yeah,
a little bit.
Because
so.
They do... There That's is amazing. A certain... There's a certain look they do when you're doing something against the rules or like trying to bend the rules or something where they like suddenly they look very sad and very distressed and they're like, I don't know.
does like horoscopes work in Japan? Like, does that work on other people? Like, cause you know, some horoscope people will be like, if you love the rules, you must be a Libra or whatever. Can you do horoscopes on Japanese people? Does that still work?
They do blood type instead of horoscope.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you know yours? Do you have to know that to get into Japan?
You don't have to know it to get in, and
I
don't
know. Not
to
get in, I mean, but like, does it come up a lot?
I never know my blood type. I definitely like have known it at various points. Like I've had blood work done. I probably could look it up. But I don't know what it is.
Well, as long as you don't
Do
lose
you know yours?
Any. No, I don't. I should, but I don't. I'm just blanking on never
I
losing it.
I wish you
it.
Did, because
yeah,
I would have just
never
looked
losing
up
any.
What that says about you in Japan.
Oh, yeah, true. So it has personality traits tied to your blood type?
Yeah, it's basically like horoscope, but it's just they use their blood type instead. Which is funny, because aren't there only like four? There's like not that many.
Well, there's O, A, B, and AB, and then positive and negative for maybe all of them, or maybe most of them. So there's probably like seven, eight,
how many
up to eight, I would
blood
say.
Blood types.
Yeah, how many
there?
Blood types are there?
Wait, what?
67. What the fuck?
How can there be... No, I'm...
Wait, what does it say?
Wait,
you gotta share it.
No, the ABO system is what I want to know about. They're talking about how many different systems there are. I think it's A, B, A, B, and O. I don't know. I'm not getting a fast answer. But yeah, there's also positive and negatives in there. But there's not as many, I think.
According to this, there's eight.
Okay.
Yeah, eight. A negative, A positive, B, A, B, negative. Yeah, it's there.
Okay.
Boom. What did you, what was the other thing you were looking at?
Oh, I just looked up blood types on Wikipedia, and it was telling me how many different systems there are to categorize blood types, and I'm like, no, like the one that I know.
I see.
The ABO one.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, so that was the concert.
What were we talking about? Yeah, sorry.
That was pretty much it, and then I did have a surprising amount of notes on the way back about the airplanes and the
Do you take these notes for the pod?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I feel like I gotta write this down because I have to remember it for the pod.
Yeah, so...
I remember you saying, because we were loosely talking about doing a pod last week, because you were going to get in like Thursday maybe, and so we could maybe do it Friday.
Yeah, I ended
up... that didn't happen.
Traveling on the way back for 34 hours.
What was the longest leg of that? Because the flight to, I assume you flew into like LA or something. Wait, did you say earlier you had a layover in Texas?
Yes. I flew...
Was that...
Tokyo to...
Plant from the get-go?
I think it was Dallas. Yes. It was supposed to be Tokyo to Dallas to the city where I live in Oregon.
Yeah.
I guess months ago, they changed my flight and I ended up having a layover in Dallas for 12 hours. And by the time I got to Dallas and discovered this, like the flight from Tokyo to Dallas was like 11 hours. It's like not that bad. It's better than like 14 or whatever, which is other ones that I've done. But then I only realized that I have this insane layover once I get to Dallas, and then I'm talking to the American Airlines lady and she's like, well, they technically made this change months ago, so there's nothing we can do now. You just gotta wait. Like the schedule changed.
And you just didn't get an alert or didn't see an alert or something?
I guess I technically got an email and I didn't see it because
I love that you said technically. You mean you got an email.
Right, I did.
That's so funny because I've said that to people too. Like if a restaurant would be like, oh, your order is not what you said and we did this. I'd be like, how the fuck was I supposed to know? And they were like, we emailed you. And I was like, shit. So then you tell the story and you're like, well, I guess they sent me an email.
Well, because it doesn't count if you don't
apparently.
See it.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. Man. So yeah, they changed. So you just got screwed sitting around and... What was the hours of the day that you were stuck in Texas?
It was like fucking 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. or something like that. So not a time that I could have got a hotel room.
Day.
If it was overnight, I could have got a hotel room, but I can't go to a hotel and be like, can I have a room at 8 a.m.?
Yeah, I guess you can't do that, right?
I could have probably
no
asked,
to do
but
that.
I also didn't want to pay like $300 for a hotel.
So what'd you do in the airport? Because you don't drink, so airports are not as fun as they are for... other people.
No,
so you just
and
pace
let
back
me
and
tell
forth
you.
And read your Kindle.
Let me tell you, I read my Kindle a little bit. I was mostly like too delirious to actually do anything. But that freaking, I was in the B terminal. I'm just gonna keep saying Dallas, even though I'm not sure if it's Houston.
All right.
I was in the B terminal of the Dallas airport. It was, I kid you not, like 20 different cowboy themed bars and like three restaurants.
Whoa.
Like there were almost no
Damn.
Just food restaurants. It was like entirely bars and they all had like stars and cowboy hats all over them. Like they're like Texas bars.
Boy. So you've never felt more like you're missing out.
Right. Exactly.
The airport in Dallas. Okay. So yeah,
never,
that's you just
never more
the
jealous
trip.
Of someone's life than when I see them posted up alone at an airport bar.
Honestly, here's the problem. You're being sarcastic, but it's actually the best. You can take my word for it. Being chilling at an airport bar alone, so fun. Because you talk to people, like random people. And it's just like there's so much camaraderie in it. You know, it's the best. You know how rich I want to be? I want to be able to go to those lounges. You know how like really rich people, there's special lounges in airports?
Yeah, people were telling me I should have found a lounge to pay to get into, but I didn't do that.
A lot of them don't even take pay. Like you usually need to not only like have the credit card for the airline, but also like have spent a certain amount, like an insane amount. Like you have to be averaging like spending $50,000 on this credit card in a year in order to have access to the lounge. There might be somewhere you can just straight up pay. I'm not
That's
sure.
Crazy.
But I want to be able to just walk in and have them go, hello, Mr. my last name. Hello, Mr. Any. That's what I want people to hear.
Amy.
Mr. Austin.
How you doing, Amy?
Amy. Yeah. Hello, Mr. Amy. So good.
Okay. Well, you need to do that and film it and let me know how it is, because I probably will not.
I don't think I get to that point. I don't think I physically could spend the amount of money I need to. I'll look it up and see. Because I got crazy. That Delta card. But like, you really got to spend a lot of money to get to the level that you're allowed to be in those things.
I know,
and
I wonder.
All I hear about is people complaining that there's too many people in the lounges still. So I'm like, who's got all this fucking money? Like, why was this happening?
Know.
But I'll figure it out. I'll look into it.
You got to come up with some kind of scam where you can like.
Yeah, I'm always saying that.
Qualify
like,
for
we gotta
it.
Come up, we got to get a scam.
We do. We have to get a scam going.
Speaking
of scams, did I tell you that? Wait, because did I ever text you that I was excited because I thought Genshin Impact emailed me and then it turned out to be a scam? It was not real.
No, you didn't say that. That's really sad. No. Oh, that sucks. I bet you could get in touch with Genshin if you wanted to. Like, it is... I've seen Genshin do, like, creator collabs, and they're collaborating with people who are, like, smaller than you. And they are people who, like, exclusively do Genshin, so, like, fair enough, but...
Yeah, but they
there's a world where you can make that happen.
They have collaborated with some very random people. Like, some people are like, you know, think I couldn't get a Genshin sponsorship because I don't do Genshin content. But I've seen them collab with the most random people for real.
Do they do sponsor, like, actual sponsored segments?
I've seen it, yeah.
Like, they'll pay you to do it. Huh. Yeah, you should try to get in on
that. Anyway, I don't know if that's actually going to happen. But I do think that... There's a possibility, maybe. But anyway, they emailed me, and I don't know if it was just because I was too excited because it was Genshin, and that's like the one thing that I would even like want to do a sponsorship for, really, because it's,
yeah,
I
you
just
gotta ask a pretty
like
penny
because
you're gonna sell the fuck out of that game.
I know. So I don't know if I was just too excited, but I didn't look at the email address very closely, which is the first thing you should check. And the email address, like, once I looked at it after a couple emails, it was like very obvious that it was not real. But so I didn't, you know, send them any credit card information or anything, but it became clear that because they were like, we're going to send you a DocuSign just to read, which is a real thing that they do sometimes. But it was not a link to DocuSign. It was like very obvious, like you hover over and it's not a link to the DocuSign website. So I almost got scammed. I didn't, but that was just like humiliating because I was actually, my first reply back to them was like so excited.
I wonder where they are, like reading that being like this sucker. I wonder if they felt bad.
And you know what I did when they sent me the fake DocuSign link? I think my response was just one sentence, like, unfortunately, now I think this is a scam. That was my response. Because
you probably disappointed them more than they disappointed you, because they were like, finally, someone, we're going to get their fucking info. Nope.
Yeah, because I could have just not responded, but I wanted to send him something to know that I was on to him and I was mad. Because I was
the next thing, you're helping them. It's kind of like... taking antibiotics for a biotic, for a bug, you know? Because now you told them how you caught them. So now that's the next thing they're going to fix. And then people are going to keep giving them feedback.
That's true.
Being like, oh, this is where. And now they're like, okay, all we got to do is get the DocuSign link to be a little better. And then next time. So you're helping them evolve, you know?
That's true.
No, you should. I think you got to get your validation.
Because it was like, I know everybody says this when they almost get scammed, but it was very convincing at first. The original
that
email.
Exactly what
was
you're
very
so right
convincing.
That that's what everybody says. But by definitionally, it would have to be, right?
Right.
Like, there's no way, like, whatever it was would have
I'm
had to
stupid.
Seem convincing to you. You're going to put the email up on the screen, Ethan. Send Ethan the email. Let's get the people to judge. How convincing was it? Be so funny. It's gonna be like a poorly formatted, like stretched Genshin screenshot and like spelling mistakes and stuff.
Yeah, the email address was from
and
like,
they signed it love.
Yeah,
love Genshin.
The email address was from like Hoyo is the name of the company. It was like Hoyo123.com or something like that. Like
nice.
it was not right. So
I don't think I've ever almost gotten scammed through YouTube.
The layover sucked. I did want to say. Haven't you said on this pod before that you once went on a plane that had cameras you could look at for to see the outside of the plane?
I've never been on one of those planes, but they do have them. Airbus planes that go overseas, a lot of them have them. Yeah. Did yours have that?
So my international had like external cameras.
Wait,
I could look at.
What kind of plane was it? Was it a big plane?
Maybe it was an Airbus. It was a big plane. It was international, yeah.
Well, how many engines did it have?
Don't know. Didn't look.
Emma.
I'm sorry. I really look should look things. At these things right. for your sake. But I didn't look.
Okay.
But it was a little bit.
Was it Dallas to Tokyo? It was direct?
Yeah.
And who'd you fly with?
That flight was operated by American? Japan Airlines, JAL.
An A350. Okay, that's pretty sick.
Okay.
I love the A350. An A380. It's no A380. But an A350 is a sick plane. Anyway, continue.
The cameras kind of freaked me out, to be honest. I watched the camera. It was like the camera on the bottom, so you could see the wheels when we landed.
See the wheel, like landing, yeah.
And very cool. It was cool, but it made me a little more hyper aware than I usually am that I am actually in a flying
you're
machine.
Like going up, yeah.
And
it
also,
it's pretty freaky. I
was surprised how early they they put the wheels down like well before you hit the ground. And then you're just flying around with the wheels down. And it made me think, are they spinning? Is the air making them spin? Are they just spinning wildly while you're flying? Or are they like stopped? Or would it matter?
I can only speak to my little plane, but they don't spin wildly in my little plane. I'm sure there are exceptions to that. But my assumption would be no, because the wind would be pushing on the top and the bottom equally, right?
You would think.
And so you'd be pushing against, but I don't know, you're the one with the camera on the plane. Were they spinning or could you not
tell? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, my gut would say no. I did, when we flew to visit you, we flew United, which obviously as a member of the 1%, I normally wouldn't do. We fly Delta only, if possible, but Delta didn't offer any flights out there.
Is Delta higher class than United? I don't even know.
No, I don't know. It's just, I feel like rich people always have like an airline that they like, you know? It's always like, oh, we only fly this.
Right, because you
and
get
I'm trying
the
to be
points.
One of those people. I'm trying to get there. You get the points and so on and so forth. But United, super cool of them. They brought back the thing where you can plug headphones in and you can listen to the cockpit audio. So they used to, back
Whoa.
In the day, they had this thing where you could plug it in and listen to the people talk to the air traffic. And they brought that back. The pilot actually like announced it to us. He was really excited. He was like, for you older flyers here, you know, do you remember United Channel 11 or whatever it was called? Well, they brought it back. Go here and you can listen to us up here in the cockpit. He was like really proud. I was like, oh my God, this is sick. But the problem is I didn't have any wired headphones, so I couldn't do it.
Damn. I wonder
and
if
also,
he was
obviously,
like...
I'm obviously just listening to it via liveatc.com anyway, but, you know, it would have been cool to hear it direct.
I wonder if he felt like he was putting on more of a show that day and just in case anybody was listening.
Well, I think that's why they got rid of it at first, is because if you'd said anything a little by the book or wrong, or not by the book or like incorrect, it was a liability. But at this point...
Yeah, that's why
Live
I'm surprised
ATC
they would
so
even let you do that.
That it's like everyone's can be listed. Like basically all air communication is being recorded by somebody somewhere onto the internet and you can listen to it. So I assume they were just like, whatever, just don't curse, you know. And I'm sure they have a button that they can push to be like, stop letting them. Like if an engine blew up, they would probably push the don't broadcast this to the cabin button. Because, you know, they don't need to hear all of like the scary emergency language or anything.
Yeah.
But
what, is there like
a
rule
cool
about if an engine does blow up or something, do you have to tell everybody or like how soon do you have to tell everybody or can you just keep it a secret while you figure it out? Like, because you wouldn't want everybody freaking out if it's just going to make things worse.
I think most, there's no rule about it. My guess is most people would say, don't, like there's this thing that they say in aviation where no matter what's happening, you do things in this order. You aviate, navigate, communicate. That's your hierarchy. So anytime you're like, what should I do right now? If aviate first, fly the plane, keep it flying, navigate second, get it going where it needs to go, communicate third, talk to like the air traffic people. And my guess is even below communicating with air traffic would be communicating with the passengers. So,
yeah,
you know, permitting, time permitting, I'm sure most people would. But like, I don't think it's a matter of we don't want to tell them because we don't want them to panic. Because at the end of the day, that if they think the plane's going to crash and die, all they're going to be worried about is stopping that in whatever way they can. And if it's under control and they are going to, we're going to be fine, they probably would, it'd be better to communicate in that case. So, you know, it's up to each pilot, but no, there's no rules about it. But the, in those moments, the pilots probably are not thinking about your feelings too much. They're probably thinking mostly about your flesh, you know, keeping right. that together.
Yeah.
Not losing the bottom of your jaw.
Stressful job.
Probably. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how, that, that's how jobs. This happened, actually. Plane accident.
Yeah, really? That's crazy. Same. Mine too. That's where the nipple went. Got ripped off.
The plane didn't crash. Somebody just got really pissed off at me and punched it off of me. And then I bled out on the floor.
And you bled out in the middle of the airplane.
Yep. Okay. Nice. That's about all I had to say about my trip. Sorry, I kind of took over the episode.
No, I don't care. I haven't talked to you since before you left. I wanted to hear all about all of it. Did you know that this the last episode didn't go up on Spotify or whatever? Did you see those comments?
Yeah, that was my bad. It is up there now.
Okay.
But it's because I was traveling and I kind of forgot about that.
It's all good. There's no... Listen, these people can wait. I did see a question from about 12 hours ago from Drew Cotton, which said, are y'all not doing the pod this week? So, Drew, rest assured, we were not doing the pod that week. We are doing it this week, though. So,
shout
we're
out.
Here. Yeah, I don't think there was really much else to talk about other than, like I said, I won't be here next week. I should be back. I think I'm back Friday, but I think late Friday. So I don't know. If you want to do a pod on Saturday, we can. Otherwise, we can skip.
We'll figure it out.
And I'll let you know if I find, I'm gonna go try to find Jimmy and make him give me a mil.
Ooh. Is he for sure going?
No, he's not there. He's not gonna be there.
Yeah, you've been going crazy with the conferences this year.
Yes. I mean, this one was like last minute decision. Not a decision, but it was the agency that I work with, Algebra.
Yeah.
They had some things come together and decided they were going to partner with some other groups and stuff and do a big party. And so they were like, hey, any chance you could fly out? We'll fly you out to go to the party and so on and so forth. Just because they... You know, it's good brand awareness for them to have their cool people show up. So they got me
because they know you're the life of the party.
Conference
they know
as
well.
You're
gonna be
you know
dancing
me.
On tables.
You know me. I'm a party animal. Absolutely, no dancing. I'm just gonna be standing on them. So yeah, but I also wanted to figure out like which ones are worth going to and which ones aren't. Like next year, I'm pretty sure I'll skip VidCon. And
yeah. VidCon was a bust.
Go to Open Source for sure next year. You should come to Open Source, but obviously no pressure. We'll see how VidSummit is. And then a bunch of people tried to get me to go to TwitchCon. I don't think I'm interested in that.
And then the other big one next year. Sometimes I think about these cons and I get FOMO, but then I'm like, I kind of just want to sit in my house for a while, especially after Tokyo. I'm like, I'm done doing that for a minute.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's the thing is it's always FOMO when anything happens. Like, you can give yourself FOMO for any reason.
Right.
You know, we'll see. I'll let you know if this one's cool or if it's just all business, in which case I probably will enjoy it. But, and then next year, the big one, Cannes. I told you about Cannes.
Yeah. It sounds ridiculous that this is an influencer thing now.
They're trying to do it. So we'll see. Maybe we'll do Cannes Open Source next year. Maybe. Think about it. South of France. I don't even know where the fuck it is, but
I never left the country. Consider it.
All right. Cool. Oh, very good.